Good afternoon, brethren. It's finally starting to feel a little warmer outside. I guess we'll see how long this lasts. I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to spring. And really, this is our last Sabbath in February. So we're really not too far away from spring, which also means we're not too far away from the spring holy days. I figured it's a good time for us to be looking at ourselves. Now, I realize that we should probably always be examining ourselves. So, even if I'm a little early on this, I think it's something we can benefit from any time of the year. Now, I've been reading in Deuteronomy lately, and today I'd like to discuss one particular area of examining ourselves that Moses spoke specifically to Israel about. And it really applies to anyone who wants to be considered one of God's people. We'll start off, if you could turn over to Deuteronomy 8 and verse 12. That's where we'll start. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 12. We'll read down to verse 16, or 18 actually. It says, "Lest," and this is Moses speaking to Israel, "lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land, where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, and that he might test you, to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth.' And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Now Moses was very perceptive of human nature. Each of us has that natural tendency to want to believe that we are in complete control of everything around us. And when times are good, then it's because we worked harder or smarter, and we deserve all the good things that we're surrounded by. Of course, when things go wrong, then it's somebody else's fault. But we like to believe that we can be self-sufficient. Now, do you see a problem with this? There is one. This false sense of self-sufficiency, in a sense, puts ourselves in the very place of God. Because God is the giver of good gifts. He made everything that we enjoy. He takes care of us. Yes, he may require that we have to work hard, and he may require us to think a little bit. But ultimately, if God doesn't bless what we do, we will not succeed. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, this is a scary thing. I know that sometimes I almost dread when somebody does something for me, because then I feel like I owe them something. Normally, I'll try and do something back as soon as possible to try and expunge that perceived debt that I owe someone. Maybe nobody else in this room is like that. Hopefully not. I know it's something I need to work on. I know it's wrong. But I know sometimes I try and do this with God, and it's especially wrong when I try and do this with God. Each and every one of us owes God something. And not just something, but everything. And let's turn down. After Moses talked about self-sufficiency, he also got to this next warning. If we turn over to Deuteronomy 9, we're going to read verses 6 and 7. It says, "Therefore, understand, the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness. For you are a stiff-necked people. Remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord." Now again, Moses knew human nature well, and he could foresee that if we realize that we owe God everything, that we might try and take it upon ourselves to make things right with God. ourselves. We might try to make ourselves spiritually self-sufficient. I know I've attempted to do this in the past, and it sort of works like this. I make a mistake. I know I make a mistake. So I pray to God, and I'm on my best behavior for a week or so, and it makes me feel as if I've earned God's blessing or his favor back, or that I've made things right. Now, the change in behavior is right, but the concept that I made things right with God is not. We repent, and God makes things right with us. It's a subtle difference, but God sees it. And God accepts the one, but he does not accept the other. Now, you might be thinking, well, he's just been reading from the Old Testament, which I happen to think there's nothing wrong with, but I believe that the New Testament addresses these two issues as well. I'd like to go over them a little bit. If we could turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, in verse 13. We'll read down to verse 16. So James chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "Come now, you who say, tomorrow or today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." I think James is addressing that first issue of self-sufficiency head on here. And can any of us really say that we're not guilty of this? I doubt it. And yet, at least if you're like me, I don't always even see it for the arrogance that it actually is. I go about and I make plans, I think, and I act as if I'm in complete control of something, when in reality, I should be mindful that God is in control, that God will perhaps permit this or that, or he may even open a door and bless me, but my thoughts should always be looking to God as my protector and my provider. Now, this isn't to say that we shouldn't be working hard or we shouldn't be making plans. It's just that we need to keep God in his proper place in the forefront of our thoughts. Now, again, this concept of physical self-sufficiency is bad enough, but the concept of spiritual self-sufficiency is probably even a little worse. And Jesus gives us an example of this. It's our last scripture. If you could turn over to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. This is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. We'll read down to verse 14. So it says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Now, notice here, Jesus gave this parable because he knew that there were some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Now, the one thing about the Pharisees, I honestly believe that many of the Pharisees really thought that they were pleasing God. They were so careful not to break even the littlest of commandment. They were so focused on that. But Jesus saw that in doing so, they had forgotten what those commandments pointed to in the first place, and that being that we are spiritually deficient on our own, and we need God. I know a lot of thought processes in my life need to change. I sometimes can find myself, if I haven't screwed up in a while, acting a little like the Pharisee, and that's wrong. It's totally wrong. We don't want to be sinners. We need to not be sinners, but at the same time, we need to realize that it's God working through us that gets us to that point. It is not our own work that gets us that far. Now, as I said, I know I have a lot of thought processes that I need to change. I need to learn that I am not self-sufficient and be comfortable with trusting God for both my physical and my spiritual needs. However, these changes won't just happen on their own. I need to let God's Spirit work in me and truly be active in trying to stir up that Spirit. I need to be praying. I need to be studying. I need to be thinking about God and His ways. And I need to be trying my best to obey and draw close to God. You see, our calling is not a passive calling, but rather we must work hand in hand with God to develop into the being that God wants us to be.